Okay, so today is the 3rd of July 2019. This is Dr. Adiola Dawes. Can you say your full name?
My name is Derek Patrick Gale.
And what are your parents' names?
Well, my mother's name is Gwendolyn, and my stepfather, Ruben Murray. Because he's not my real dad, because I've never met my real dad, you know, which is something none of my existing family has ever spoken about, you know, so I've never been able to find out who he is or what he did, or, you know, some secrets. It's a big secret, you know, with black people, like, you know, you don't get in conversation with them until you've been spoken to, you get me, so you don't really know what's happening, you know. But, and that's what it was, and but I did know Ruben's family before I came to England, and I knew he wasn't my father, because that much I knew, you know. So when I came here, I knew I was going into a house with my mother and my stepfather, you know, but I didn't know how the reaction would be. But it was good in terms of living, you know, there wasn't any animosity between either of us. You know, my mother was more like the more dominant of the two, you know, so she she was like, I came here, but, you know, I look at it and I thought to myself, over the years and see the years gone by, I was here to look after the younger ones more, you know, more than actually looking out for myself, you know what I mean? I was fed and I was closed. Stuff like that, but other than that is do around the house, which, you know, when they're not there, you know, make sure the kids are safe. So I've been doing safety work for quite a long time, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, five kids, you know. But back home as a kid, we grew up with a large amount of young people, you know, because if I remember right, I was counting the other day, my auntie in London, she had five children. My one auntie, she had two. My other auntie, you know, there was like 10 of us in the one yard. You know, I mean, there used to be a Gale yard. That's why the word yardie comes about, you know, because everybody lived in a yard. Because my grandfather, he owns his property, so that was a Gale yard. And further down the road, there was a property which is called Clark's. And the fact that it was called a Clark yard is because they were all relatives, but there was only one owner. He owns it, and everybody built a house on it. You know, families, a little house there, a little house there. And it's called Clark yard. It actually was called James yard, because they were all James, the whole caboodle of them, you know. So, you know, so kids were like close proximity when you're growing up, you know what I mean? Uncles around you, you know what I mean? You have... Like I was showing you, I got three uncles, you know, we were at similar age, you know, older than me, but they were doing things which I was able to do as well, you know. So it was a happy medium back home, you know. I had a fantastic time as a kid, you know, because we lived out in the bush, you know what I mean. We had, my grandfather, he had goats, you know, he was a farmer, he planted rice. I mean, he did everything, you know what I'm saying. He was like... You know, and the most important thing, right? Premento, right? I don't know if you know what Premento is, right? Premento, that part of the, where we came from, Premento was the main growth of stuff, right? And when the Premento season comes around, everybody have to chip in, you know? We are the youngest boys. We are the one that climbed the trees and break the limb down. And you got some of them down there with a bag. We call the seeds. Right, the seeds is the most important thing, right? And Premento season is like a hard working time, right? Because it's got to be dried, it's got to be picked, you know? And we used to have a little room at the back of the house, because we used to have all we used to call them crocus bags, and we used to fill it up with Premento, take it out. And in the night, all the women and the neighbors comes and we sit there and they're picking Premento in the night and we're talking dopey stories. You know, there'll be like ghost story going on, you know. And if you have to get up and walk back to your house. It's pitch black, you know what I mean? And you know, you the living daylight out of you, you know what I'm saying? This is ridiculous. But it was fun. You know, I didn't have to just go. And my granny used to say, so, you wash your foot. You know, we had a tap running into the yard just off the road. And the footpath leaves up there. And she used to come with the torch and say, go wash your foot. And you know what I mean? So we had to run up in the dark to the top and wet your foot and run back, you know what I mean? And I used to go, no pee, you know what I mean? I just, you know what I mean? And those are the things I remember back home, you know what I mean? We used to have goats. And because, like I said, we get up early in the morning and goats got to go out, right? And we had a property, we used to call it Hilltop. Yeah, it's like that. But when you get to the top, it's pure level, you know? But the goats, they know the way up and down. Right, we used to have one called Billy. Because he was a ram goat, you know? We used to call him Billy, tie a thing around his neck. And he takes a flag up to the hill. And this is before we go to school, you know what I mean? And we used to go to a school called Petersfield, which is like from here to Grangetown, probably further. But we used to walk. But we never used to walk by the roads. We used to walk in between properties. We know there's footpath leading, you know, so you come up across mango trees, there's nisberry trees, there's guava trees. So you leave home at, you don't get to school till 10 o'clock, you know what I'm saying? And the teacher, Mr., what's his name? I never forget him, Mr. Dunn. He used to meet us halfway down the road with a big bloody belt, you know what I mean? But we got him tricks anyway, because they used to have a thing called a courage. It's a herb. You rub it in the middle of your hand. It makes your hand go numb. So you can't feel anything, you know. The only time, don't let them hit you over the palm. That's where it hurts. So if you rub it in, if it touch anywhere on your skin, you come out in a rash, you know. But if you rub it in your arms, palms like that, it makes the middle of your hand go numb, you know. And it used to come, you know. And he used to say, hold out your hand. This is at the school gate before. Hold your hands. It used to hit you in your arms, you know. But if you tried to run, it used to try and get your legs. You know what I mean? So this was a running battle between the school and the kids, you know what I mean? So, but the worst thing is, if they send a report home to your grandparents and say, oh, Derek, been late to school, you know, then you get another beating, you know. So, you know, and that's how it was. You know, it was joyful to go to school. Because where we lived, we had a path running right along our house, right? We used to play cricket out there and stuff, right? And there's a place behind us called Goldsmith, a different little community. So if you walk down a path, it takes you 10 minutes. But if you have to walk around, go around, take you another half an hour. So being, you know, so we used to control that lane, you know what I mean? So anyone we falling out with, they ain't gonna pass, you know what I mean? We'll be stoning them or whatever, you know what I mean? So used to wait for them at the bottom of the property, because we used to walk from the house down there and this would be a footpath and there's houses behind us, you know? Because there was no border as such, you know, by the trees and whose land is that, whose property is that. You know, there's no fencing, you know, but there's certain people that'll protect their property, like the plant, certain mango tree, you know when the mango is going to drop and, you know, they'll be waiting for you, you know. You know what I mean? You know, you could hear people running through the cane field, you know, oh, Mr. Harp is coming, you know what I mean? Try to get away, you know what I mean? And that's how our life was, you know what I mean, back home. But whew, when you came to England, everything stopped. You're thinking, what the heck? I mean, you have to pay for everything then. That's when you start paying. Like, you know, there's no cricket field unless you pay to play. There is nothing, you know. And where my parents live, it was a coal industry, not steel industry. You know, it was like West Midlands, you know, it's heart of the West Midlands, basically steel. You know, my father, stepfather used to work in the London Steelworks. You know, which is like 5 minutes away. You could smell it, you know, I mean, first thing in the morning, steel, late in the night, steel, truck, steel, you know what I mean? And I hated it, to be honest, you know. I did not like living there. You know, I used to go out, used to get locked out the house because, you know, 10 o'clock come, you're not home, you know, you don't come in. You know, that's how my mother was, you know, because I thought he works shift work, so, you know, on and off, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, so I think I spent about, after I left school, about 18 months at home, you know, and went to live in Wolverhampton. You know, because I had a problem, you know, I was the problem as like house problem because I go out and don't come back in, I go try and get, go to a, because I begin to know a few people from Dudley, because Dudley was 2 minutes away, you know, Dudley Zoo and places like that. So when I leave Wolverhampton, when I went to live in Wolverhampton, I know the area, so I'm able to come back, like to place like Dudley. You know, where I used to go with my mother, pulling the trolley every Saturday morning, you know what I mean? That was, those days were done because I'm independent now, I live by myself, you know? Have different friends in Wolverhampton, start coming back to Dudley, Queen Mary Ballroom, which is where Lenny Henry used to perform before he became big, you know? And used to be running battles with Hell Angels because the Hell Angels used to be part of that gang then, because they used to control the Dudley, the Queen Mary Ballroom, as it were, you know, and they used to be, they did not like black people, you know what I mean? They did not like black people. So we all used to catch the bus from Wolverhampton to Dudley. And if you're from Wolverhampton, it makes you a Wolverhampton supporter, you know, football, right? Outside of Wolverhampton, a place called Garnell. From Garnell to Dudley and the rest of the areas, or West Bromwich Albion, you know, the Baggies and the Wolves. So you get to certain part of, they stone the bus, especially see black man on that bus. Whoa, get them niggas. You gotta put the seats up against the door, against the windows, you know. That used to be a regular occurrence on a Sunday night, because the police would be out there waiting, because it's one of those stops where the bus have to stop, you know. And I've been on the bus, and the bus, rather than go down that way, they drive around and go to the police station because they'll be chasing the bus, you know, and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, so I live in Wolves. Got to know people because I didn't know anyone around there. Got to know people, made friends with, you know, with all the, because Wolverhampton is very black oriented, you know, there's a lot of black people living in the West Indies. So that's where my story is different from Glaston in a way, because Wolverhampton is a bigger town, more people, music, and that's where I get involved with the music thing, because we set up a sound system, you know, a group of us, you know, little sound we had used to play, you know, Spider-Man sound, we used to call ourselves and play, you know. People just turn up, all of a sudden people start coming and, you know, get bigger and bigger and, you know, so, and that's how it was. Then we start traveling outside of Wolverhampton, used to go place like Manchester, you know, so I knew the culture of the music then. And once I got into a bit of trouble in Wolverhampton, well, until this day, I think we were innocent, but I think because we were young black kids and they were the racist vibes then were Rivers of Blood by Enoch Powell. And I was watching a program the other day, and, you know, I didn't know this, but he was the man. He was the Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary, I can't remember what he was. But when they started to recruit West Indian people to come to England, he was the man that actually went to the Caribbean and started recruiting nurses and telling people come to Britain, get a life, you know, education, etc. And he's the one that turned around and tell them stop, because we're gonna have rivers of blood and stuff like that, you know. And the racist thing was, you know, this is like back in 70s, you know, 75, you know. I've only been in the country about, well, possibly about less than 5 years, you know. And so five of us end up in Crown Court, because we got attacked. We didn't attack anyone. The one guy fell through the glass window, the one white guy. He was from Newcastle. It was Newcastle supporters. And he fell through the glass. They say that they were stabbed. But see, the trouble is we didn't have anyone to defend us, to say, well, you know, we were just in court. They gave us a lawyer. I end up in bloody Staffordshire Crown Court, you know? It used to be called, it's called Staffordshire Assizes then, before Crown Court. I mean, I was sitting there, I was stood there, and the judge was bloody over there, like half a mile away. You need a binoculars to see this guy. You know, so anyway, they say we started, they had me, what was the charge they put on me? Causing an affray. Didn't know what that was at the time. Right, and two of my friends, they got jailed, you know.
How old were you?
17, 18 at the most, you know, and 15, yeah, I was around 18, you know. Because, and the only reason we were in that part of the town is because they wouldn't let us black people in any club unless you knew someone who works there or you're friendly with the doorman. But I had a friend who works in the bar downstairs. And he used to let us in off the street, go to the bar and upstairs. And we used to hide in the dark. just to, you know, because the bouncers, they used to come around and just look, you know. And so we used to just mill around in the, because it was quite a dark dance room, you know. Just split up and just to be in there, you know. And we had to get there before 11 o'clock because they closed the downstairs bar. And that's where we were going. We were on our way to this club. When we got attacked and my friend ended up in hospital and also all hell broke loose. So I had a friend living in Birmingham at the time, so I thought, oh, you know, I couldn't even tell my mother then. Because my mom just lived up the road, you know. And they said, oh, you got to have, who's your next of kin, you know. And I'm like, oh, my mother. So... because I went to live in Birmingham then at the time with a friend, not live, but stayed with him because, you know, hopefully this thing would blow over, like, but never quite did because I went back to Wolverhampton because I was signing the dole then, you know, when you go there, give you dole check and stuff. So went there one morning and they were waiting for me, the police. It was even on the radio, it was the most threatening thing, you know, I'm telling you. So anyway, went through that and they took me to this police station called Red Lion Street. Little dingy place, you know. So I gave my mother's name, innit? Oh my God, it's the worst thing I did. She comes there. You know, she weren't happy. You know, she said, you don't live at my... I got 5 children and they live at home. You know what I mean? In other words, you know, you're not included now. You know what I mean? The 5 that's at home... they are my priority, you know, you moved out, you know, get on with it then, you know. And that, you know, I thought, okay. Went through the system, go to court, they fined me £30. This is 1975. I mean, £30 is a hell of a lot of money. Didn't have it, you know. I thought they'd forgotten about it, didn't I? And it must be about 2 years later. This guy come knock, I don't know how they found out where it was. Boom, 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 knock on my door. It's Mr. Gale. I'm saying, yeah. He says, oh, we've got to go. We have a date. I'm like, yeah, where? Winston Green. That's the police station now, the jailhouse. Took me straight to Winston Green. 30 days. So they put me in the cell. You know. And I think they're probably trying to frighten me because the cell, the wing which they put me on, it was like, I'm walking along the corridors and I'm like, and in them days they had little cards by the door and it tells you how long you're doing. And I'm walking along the door, I'm like, life, 20 years. This is what I'm seeing on this, I'm like, you know. And I remember there was a group of Chinese guys. It was a big thing back then, you know, and they all had 20 odd years each, because they were a heroin gang, right? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's the frightening thing in my life, right? So they put me in a cell now. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't know if it was late, right? I could hear keys rattling, And they opened the door because I was in there by myself. There was a bunk bed in there, but I was in there. And I opened the door and I look up. I seen this guy walks in, right? This man was about 6'6", big strapping white guy. I like my heart sunk. I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, why are they bringing him this time of morning, right? So I'm on the bottom bunk, shaking like a leaf now, right? And I hear someone who goes, "You're up, mate." I'm like, yeah, right? He said, "Don't worry, mate. I'm only here till in the morning. I'm going to Leicester. So they bought this guy from London because Leicester is closer, and he's in court in Leicester. So they bought him in overnight, right, with no one else's knowledge, and stick with myself. This guy was only a cop shooter, innit? His name was Aka. He was a big, he killed some policeman in London, right? So, anyway, they stick him in the cell with me." You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God. You know what I mean? And I thought to myself, I don't like jail. No, I don't like jail, And I came out and I moved to Birmingham then, and I moved to Edgbaston, which is was like, and actually, I moved to a friend of mine called Robert because I knew him from Wolverhampton. So we got a flat together, both of us, and went to live in Edgbaston, City Road, And but he was still working in the further on in the Midlands because he'd been working there all his school life, a place called Darlington. And he says, "Yeah, I'll move to Birmingham. Let's get a flat together, man." So we went there, we got a flat together, share a house, in Edgbaston, And from there, the front line was just down the road, And I'm quite acquainted with black people now. I can move around music business and I got a job in Quicksave. There's a company, a Welsh company, Quicksave, and they opened a big warehouse in a place called Tipton. So we all went there for a job, and we all got job there. There's about eight of us black guys, and we all start working there, And the money was quite good, but what it was, you could do a lot of overtime, right? So we used to go work at 10 o'clock and come home at 10 o'clock, piling up the cash. We were earning good cash there, and we had a flat. We weren't even cooking. There was Mavis, Miss Mavis down the road who cooks. We'd order her dinners. "Mavis, we're coming for dinner. Make sure you put the dinner up, And the gambling is going on. We're playing cards. And so sometimes I come from work. I don't even bother to go home until bedtime, because it's so busy. There's the herbs man there, the pubs there. It was frontline. This is the com. We never used to go to the city centre or anything. Everything you do in that community. You go play gambling, you lost your wages this week. Next week you'll win it back. You win back the same money you've lost. You know, I mean, that the used to go around in circles, so you never used to have to leave the area. Because the blues, this man called Dyke, he had a hairdresser shop. Weekend, he packed all the hairdresser stuff up and put the sound system in. The pub is across the road, and like it is on City Road now, you don't have to walk far to get fresh product because, in the Midlands or London, where the black community, you always get the food, Like I went to buy a piece of yam the other day, I'd have to touch about 10 pieces before I feel what I want, because they've got it so long. But back then, you could go and get the fresh stuff, And yeah, and that's how it was. Everything was good. Then a new influx of West Indians start coming in. Now this is like the early 80s coming, and there's a new influx, and they change the whole, they change everything at that point, because when we came here, we were in a school, we did this, we do that, but the influx which was coming in, they came in after they went to school. I don't, most of them came in on visas and coming as musician, but they're not. But you could get a visa that way, you gotta have something, you know. So most, and there used to be a lot of artists from the Caribbean coming to England. You just latch onto one of them, innit, and say, "Yo, I'm a drummer. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm a that." Bing, 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 visa. But most of them are gangsters. To be honest, you know what I mean. I'm not talking. You know, they were, you know, and they had one intention: earn money. Money was their objective. Money, money, and they'll do anything. So therefore, it becomes a war between themselves and people which are already there. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, I used to go into the cafe where we used to go for years and sit down, have a laugh and joke, play music in the back room. All that stopped because there's certain people start turning up, and you know, I mean, so I left. You know, you could see, I could see what direction it was going. And once I came to live in Cardiff, and that, there's a few people I'd known in back then who died, who got killed, who's doing life and doing a lot of jail time because of certain things that happened in their lives, you know. And you know, and that's how it was that time when I left to come to Cardiff, because I'm thinking, you know, I didn't have a profession. I'm living just on the main, and where am I going to go? You know what I'm saying? It's like, and I don't want to go to jail. I hate that place. You get me? So I thought, my friend, you know, I had a friend who was a builder doing plastering and stuff like that, and I used to work with him from time to time, you know. And the reason I, in Newport, they were building a new estate. What's it called? Anyway, they're building this new estate, and he had a job there working in some of the houses and, you know, doing plastering, you know. And I used to come up with them. And that's how it goes. You met a few young ladies at the time, they say, "Oh, come and stay with us. You don't have to go back to prom," you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, and you start linking people. I used to come to Cardiff, and because Newport, see, you'd not believe, I reckon there's more black people at that time living in Newport than there were in Cardiff. You know, the real, genuine West Indian. Because if you go to Newport now, there are, well, I don't know about now, but then there was quite a few West Indian, really proper West Indian you could deal with. There used to be food shop there. There used to be a lady there. There used to be a cafe called Silver Sands, which was like very popular, you know, food shop upstairs, dance underneath, you know. And it was people from Bristol. They all used to go there, you know. You know, I believe right in the middle of Newport in Pill, you know. And that's, you know, and it was a regular thing to do. "So where are you going this weekend?" "Oh, we're going down to Newport, man. The Pill thing is kicking, you know what I mean?" Because there's a lot of girls from Cardiff used to go down there, you know what I mean? Because, you know, to be honest with you, the girls that were living in Cardiff at that time, they weren't interested in the Cardiff men because they were kind of slow. They weren't up to date. Glasson is saying everything is good. And, you know, we kind of opened their eyes, really, when it comes to entertainment and music-wise, because they had the Casablanca, but the Casablanca was entertained by outsiders. You know, you just have sound system from Birmingham, from London, Bristol. So you get a lot of influx, especially this time of the year, you know, coming from all over, you know what I mean? And having loads of babies and gone, you know what I mean? And so when I come, and I, you know, I stayed on and stayed on. Even myself, I got caught up because I had a girl, my son mother, and that's how we linked up, because we used to go out. Because we were like modern day rogues, but in a good way, you know. Trouble like girls, don't be honest, you know. So I came and I thought, when my son was born, I'm thinking, sheesh, what am I going to do with myself now? You know what I mean? 90% of the men I know who had kids, they took off back to their own community and do what they do, you know. But I didn't have any ties or of anything. I had no other kid. And he would have been, he was my first, like, you know. So I stick around. And I thought, I'm getting old now. I think I have to be doing something, you know what I mean? And that's when I told you I went to see this guy, Nakro. Right, Nakro, I'm thinking, what the, he sounds black, you know, Nakro. And but it was a agency for people who been inside and they're trying to you know, reestablished himself back in the community. But I didn't know that. And I went to see them. And he told me about, he said, he asked me what I can do. I didn't have a profession. I said, I can do anything, man. I'm a sporty man. He said, yeah, you do sports. Yeah. He took me up to Pentwyn. And that's, I think, long ago. That was about from 1982 or something. And he just dropped me off. I met this lady. She was the, what you'd call them now at the time. She wasn't the education officer. She was the youth officer at the time, because they had two back then. They had the education and you had the youth, and she was the youth. So her boss was the education officer. So she said, oh yeah, come and have a job. Part, you know, unpaid at the time. So I started doing it voluntarily. And I, you know, I told you about, she got me my first bank account, and you know, which I still got now. Worked up in Pentwyn for about 10 years, working with young people, doing travel. And this, that's where I begin to think, oh man, I love this, you know? Because I'm doing things now which I've never done before, you know what I mean? Which I would not have done if I was still living in Birmingham, even though I didn't go to college. But they helped me with the youth and community course, you know? Just got to county hall every Wednesday, and I got through that, and I've done the outreach up in the Breckens and stuff like that. You know, and that's how it's been, like, you know, working from one centre to the next, just doing the things which I enjoy doing, which was the sports side of it all, you know what I mean? I wasn't very good with the paperwork, you know what I mean? So I never bothered with that. So that's what I'm saying. The thing I regret is not to pursue some kind of education, you know, enable, because I can read. I read anything. You know, reading's not a problem. Is my writing is a problem. And tell you why. I used to work, and I'm thinking, I know everything. I look at anything, I can read it, and I understand it. But I cannot put it down on paper, in sentences. So I'm working, I'm doing an after-school club over in, when I work in Cardiff High, I used to do Cardiff High lunch club, right? And I used to do after-school club. I used to pick the kids up from Reedy Penn High School. I mean, these are just babies, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, look at me, black man from nowhere, walking with doctors and whoever children they are, you know, grabbing their bags, but I was loving it, you know? And so I went back up one day, because I used to go there for 3 o'clock, right? Because I used to work, I used to do some cleaning job down in Cardiff Bay, because it was just been built a new cinema complex down there. And I'm thinking, shit, I have a choice. Go back to Birmingham, just try and do something. So when my son was born, and I decided to get a job, you know? So I'm going down there. Actually, there used to be an agent on City Road, agency, right? And I used to go to the local shop there. It was a colored guy, can't remember his name. But I used to be friendly with him, you know? So I used to go in, I says, hey, what's going on? I see loads of people coming in there, right? He says, you want a job? I says, yeah. I says, I don't want it too far because I haven't got a car, right? So he set me up and got me a job down in the bay, just doing basic cleaning in the cinema, you know? So you got to be there at 6 o'clock, you know? I says, no problem, I cycle down there. I used to do that. And when my second daughter, Sophie, was born, she used to live around the corner. Right, I used to zoom, 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 cycle down there, get back up, come on for a couple of hours. Then I had to go to Reedy Penn High, got me there for 3 o'clock, pick the kids up and that. And then from there, 6:30, I used to cycle to Pentwyn, up to the dome to do youth work then, you know. So it's like 3 days a week is like ducks, Reedy Penn High, you know. Back and forth, you know, and that's how life, that's how it's been. And so I went to pick a kid up one day. He had to stay over and do some extra work. So I got to the school now and I'm speaking to the teacher. She says, oh, the reason why Rachel, she's got dyslexia. I said, what the hell is that? And then she started to tell me what it is. I'm thinking, Maybe that's what I've got. You know what I mean? Because I go to the, because when I started first at the Euphrat, right, this is the friary, the old friary, right? I put myself on a course there to improve my writing skills or whatever, you know. I did that, and I'm like, I did it for about 4 months, man, and I just could not get my writing together, you know, even though I know what I want to write, but I just could not put it down on paper. So I thought, oh, blogger this, I'll give up. I basically give up, you know what I mean? I basically, but I'm saying, there is that thing out there. No one knew what it is. Even now, you know, you put that in the black community, they don't know what it is, you know? And those are the things which probably holding back a lot of black people, you know? Because, you know, even now I'm in Kitaiz and I can write and stuff like that, but I'm scared. You know, people might think you're a dull bat and that, but it's not a case of being, it's all up there. Like I'm going to write a book one day. Because I've got it up here, you know, I haven't forgotten nothing at all, you know, things I've been through and stuff like that, you know, but I want my kids them to be, because, you know, but how about they hard work too? When you go to, you know, when you go and work with other people's children and you get the most respect and, you know, my kids, they're not disrespectful at all. They're, you know, but my two daughters, I got two daughters, and they don't seem to get on. Like Glasson said, they're from different mothers, but I've always been there, you know, even though I don't really get on with the mothers anymore, because I've been with Sue now for about over 15 years, you know? And it's a her, we've done a lot of things together, you know, we do a lot of traveling. You know, I mean, first time I went back to Jamaica, it was because of her, you know, because she's been there prior. And that, and you know, and she knows how to deal with all these holiday people and etc. You know, where probably I wouldn't have learned to that. And you know, and through that, I learned to deal with all that. You know what I'm saying? So, for my children, they always, they come, she remembers their birthday, she remembers, or don't you, is Sophie's birthday or is Alexia's birthday. She got it all covered in that angle, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's just that day. You know, I want more from them. But then again, who knows? My parents probably wanted more from me. But they're healthy. They're good health, you know. And I'm happy with that, you know. They're all out there doing their thing. They're working. They don't do drugs. You know, So, altogether, I think Cardiff's been, you know, Wales has been good for me from what I was. You know, even though I didn't get into any trouble, you know, and stuff. But I'm more involved with my family now than I was when I was living there, even though they were closer, you know what I mean? And, you know, because I got three sisters, I can pick the phone up to any one of them at any time, and, you know, they will be there. When I was living in Birmingham, I would never go near the house. You know, the fact is, what my mother's going to say, you know what I'm saying? Because, to be honest with you, I was kind of scared of my mother, you know? And I think what it was, because I didn't bond with her when I was a kid. My grandparents was my mom. My grandmother was my mother, you know, his mama all my life, you know. And grandfather came to England. My mother, she had her own children. You know, there was nothing there to say, I remember you when I was like 2 or 3 years old, because I don't. You know, I can't say I remember at all before I came to England. You know what I'm saying? I came here when like 14, 15. It's like this first time we've met, you know? So you can imagine it was hard to settle in the house knowing I got two other brothers, which are half brothers, and their father live in the house. You know, it's, they don't think that, see? But they don't know what goes through your head, because I can see, you could see, as a man, you come from the Caribbean as a youth, you're older than them, you know more than them, you know, and their father is there. They're like, these are my boys, you know, and, you know, and that's how it is, you know. So I think I got out at the right time for them to strive, and they did, you know, even on harsh circumstances. You know, they're all 1, 2, 3 sisters. They all went to uni, got good jobs, paid work, married, settled down, and they all live happily ever after down there now. And I can go visit whichever, you know what I mean? And the relationship is good, you know, compared to what it was when I first came to England and living in the West Midlands. I hated it, you know, at the time. I hated it, you know. And I come to ways, you know, and like Glasson's saying, I know there's a lot of prejudice going on, but I find I get more prejudice from the black people than I do from the white people, you know what I'm saying? Because I go into go down there in Bhutan now, which I didn't grow up down there. I go down there as an outsider, which they do. If you're not part of that community from, you don't get a bye, you know what I mean? They're very cautious. You know, you interfere with any of the dealing of the girls there, or someone trying to knock you back, and because I've had all that, you know, but keeping the blues, you know, they all used to come to the blues, you know, and oh, brought me there, you know, they don't like it, you know what I mean? So it's been a, you know, but I tend to keep out of that type of thing, you know, rather than get involved, because I know you come down here. Because we all do. We come down here and you see things looking quiet and everybody's happy. You think, oh man, we could do this, we could do this down here. But I know a lot of people who've done that and end up in jail. Come down here, get involved with certain things, and be like, hey, don't you be doing that, you know? Oh, it's easier. Next thing you know, they're doing sentence. And I've got friends, you know, who came down here, got involved with whatever they do, and they end up in prison, you know. I came down here, I've been down here, what? God knows, about 40 years, near enough. I've never been to jail. I've been to court, you know. Yeah, I mean, I've, you know, it is, you know, your women report you to police, or, you know, just because you're telling them the right thing. Not because you're doing anything wrong, you know. You're telling them the right thing, you know, and they're like, I'm not having that. But down here, the policeman, them, they didn't know. They don't know much about black people, see, and that's the trouble with this, with Cardiff. They do not know anything about Caribbean people, you know. They don't know how they tick, you know what I mean? It's like in the youth service, you don't see many black youth leaders or shop workers, you know, like you'd see in the West Midlands or anywhere else. You go into any one of those, like Boots, chemists, or any one of those boutiques or footwear shops, you know, there's black guys working all over the place. Daniel, you very rarely see it. I'm thinking, is it because they're black? Is it because they're, you know, are they that stupid? But now I think it's improving, you know, than from 10 years to 15 years ago. You know, the racism thing is coming more to the fore and says, hey, there is racism out there. You know what I mean? You know, there's a lot of it out there, but no one take any note. It just comes natural to most people, you know. They say things to you and you're like, oh, you're my friend, I'm not racist towards you. You know what I mean? I said, mate, you racist to that lady there? You racist to me, because you might not say the same thing to me, but you'll say to someone else about me. You get me? That's racism anyway. You know what I mean? You don't be, oh, you can be racist to that man there and not being racist to me because you're my friend. You know, so you know, that's how it is, isn't it? Yeah, because I've got 3 children anyway. I haven't got any kids. Any one son, he's a big man now. I don't even know where he is. He was in Jamaica the last time, but I've got 3 children. I got one son and 2 girls, and I got 3 grandchildren, 4, 3 girls and 1 boy, you know. And I see them all the time, you know. They're back and forth, you know. I go and visit them, and you know. So and that's it, you know. Racism, I don't ever think about it. It's only sometimes that some people say things that are shocking with it, you know. It's like, well, you still think that way, do you? You know what I mean? And stuff like that. But other than that, you know, I just wish education was a thing I could handle. You know what I mean? Is it, you know, because that's what's stopping black people. And that's where the most of the racism come in this, because there's not enough space for everyone in Wales to climb the ladder, you know. And they're very choose, they pick and choose who they want to, you know. I mean, I know, because I work with the Welsh-speaking people, and I work with like kids in Cardiff High, you know. The rich kid in Cardiff High, they get priority if you can donate. You know, that's how they operate there. You donate and you what part of this. Oh, you know, we'll do anything for your kids to get them to graduate for uni. You know what I'm saying? I work in Glantaf. They don't care where you come from. You know, they'll help you. That's what, from my perspective, my daughter Sophie, she went to a Welsh school, you know, and she's brighter than the other two. You know what I'm saying? You know, she is, to be honest with you, she is brighter than the other two. You know, I work in Glantaf over there in the youth club there. I speak to so many different kids, mixed race kids, kids from in the valleys, cause, you know, and the only thing they don't like is that the fact they have to speak the language in school. You know, when they're in school, they have to speak Welsh. But once they're outside, you don't have to. So when they come into the centre, we speak English. They all do. But, you know, and I think a lot of coloured people don't send their kid go there and say, oh, the Welsh is not good, I don't want to speak. Well, I tell you what, you go to a Welsh school, you 10 times get a better job than any other kids out there. You know, because they want these kids to be bilingual, you know, they want them to speak the Welsh language, you know. Do you speak Welsh? Yeah, there you go. You know, they want them to speak the Welsh language because, you know, it's like me, if I get rid of my patois, who would I be? You know what I mean? You know, who would I be like? You know what I'm saying? You've got to keep part of your culture, you know? You know, you go to anywhere in the world, he says, you live in Wales, do you speak the language? Like, no. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But, you know, you have to, you know? And that's why I respect the Welsh-speaking people. People might say they are this and that, but I know a few of them, and the top people, you know, they've got different way of thinking just to the other, you know what I mean? So, my friend, he lives in Splott, and, you know, his father was the headmaster of Cattaya's High School for years and years. But they went to a Welsh-speaking school, you know, and most of those people, kids go to a Welsh-speaking school, you know what I mean? Because I think they reckon the education is a better standard than it is in the normal school, you know? Even though they say Cardiff High, you know, but you know, there's a lot of Asian in Cardiff High, because when I was there, and they are the brightest, I would say, and there's a lot of resentment over there, because I worked there, and I, in the youth club, and I see the racism that, you know, the kids, not from the school, because I don't deal with, I'm dealing with the kids in the playground. You know, I could see their attitude to Asian, but they're not troublemakers. They're just cleverer than the rest of them, and that's all it is, you know? Because Sue, her son, her grandson, because she's got a daughter, Michelle, and her son is in Cardiff High, you know, and he's doing brilliantly, you know? He's doing robotics and stuff like that, and just because she push him, you know? And he's doing well there, you know? And a lot of the Asians do well there. A lot of the African black kids that goes there do well, you know? So I wish I had done well in my time. Maybe, who knows, I could have been a professor or something.
It's not too late.
You know what I mean? You're a professor, right? Yeah. Nero, yeah. It's good to know.
Can I take you back for a second? I really wanted to know what did your mother do? Did she do the same thing in Jamaica that she did? And you didn't know her in Jamaica. You knew her only when she was in England.
Well, apparently she was going to a teacher's nursing college? Because I think one of my auntie went to that college. She was going to a nursing thing, you know? And I think that's the reason she came here so early in her life. Because the idea is come to England and finish your studies. You can be a proper midwife or something like that.
When did she come? Did you know?
I think she came in the 50s, just after 59, I think.
And how long after? Because I
was born in 54. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you can imagine, she left me when I was like a toddler, you know? So I came here in, I think about 1968, 68, 69. Because I remember when I came here, the first year Manchester United won the European Championship. And that, I think it was in about 1968. Yeah, because I remember watching that on the black and white TV. You know, because that's what we had then, isn't it? You know, I remember then. So I think it was about 1968 I came here. Yes. Or late 67, you know. But I do remember I was in Jamaica when England won the World Cup, which was not, that's when Glasson came here, but I was still in Jamaica then, because Glasson came as, when he was 10, I came when, because I think I had 1 year left in school before when I came, because when they say you could come to England and bring your kids with you now, I think the cutting off point was 15, because they leave school at 15. So I had to come to England before I was 15 years of age. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to until I was 18 or something like that. So that's where I think they got mixed up. Because I could remember my auntie used to take me on the truck to go to Kingston, you know? You know what I mean? So she could sort the paperwork out, you know, because that, a hell of a lot of traveling and just to get the papers you require to come to England as a kid, you know, and that's what killed you. You're thinking, shit, man, they don't know how the trouble you've gone through to get here, you know what I mean? And they turn around, they think, oh, yeah, you jump on one of those boats coming from France. I'm like, man, you can't walk from the Caribbean to England. You can't, you know what I mean? There's no way, you know what I mean? You're talking thousands of miles, you know? And so, been awesome, man. Jesus.
Do you remember the journey?
I remember when my auntie putting me on the plane, right? Like I said, I remember we stopped off in New York. But the fact is, when I got to London, I thought there was someone going to come and get me from there. So they just stopped me in a room all day. I think I must have been there for about 6-7 hours in this one room all by myself. I cry like a baby because I'm thinking, where's everyone? Who's picking me up, you know? It's only like about 6 o'clock in the evening. They says, oh, come, we're going now. I'm like, where are we going? So you're going to Birmingham. You know, am I sitting here? I think I am in Birmingham, you know? So they flew us from London to Birmingham. So I actually caught 2 planes to get here. You know what I mean? So, and that's where my mom and my stepdad pick us up from. I can remember they pick us up in the Zephyr 6. You know, those Zephyrs, you get, I don't know, big. You know, because he liked big car, Ruben. He's a quite a poser, you know. They pick us up in the Zephyr. He was pitch black then. You know what I mean? The day is gone. And all I could see is white stuff. But there was snow on the ground, you know. Got me back to Dudley Road, man. Oh. There's a fireplace there, and I'm just cold, 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 cold. I was cold for 6 months, really. I end up with all these football scars rather than anything else, you know. These are not, you know, but I had chilblain. You know what chilblain is? I had that when I was a kid. Because I used to be sat in front of the fire like that every time my mom turned her back. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, you could let the heat spread. But it's only 2 freaking bars. You know what I mean? Let the heat spread. But, and they only would light the fire on the weekend. Because we had a fire thing, coke fire. It wasn't even coal, it was coke, the cheapest stuff. But it used to burn hot, but quicker than the normal coal. It doesn't give off as much smoke. So when she used to order coal, Big Bloody Larry used to turn up, emptied a lot of it in the front yard. So, well, I have to shovel it down the cellar, because the cellar is the coldest cellar in history. Believe you me, you go down the cellar there, you freeze. I swear to God, you open the door, you go, oh, it's frozen. It was the coldest cellar, you know what I mean? But no other one go down there, because I was the eldest. I had to go and get the coal. I was like, Jesus Christ, you're not down that cellar there. Yeah, man, because on top of the cellar, you have the front room then. You know, black people, your front room, you don't use it. You only use that for when relatives or friend comes, you know. You got to heat it up for about a week before it to get hot because you're so cold. Because, you know, it's right in the cellar. Bloody hell. So he said, turn it. And that's the only place he had electric heater. That's the only room there was electric heater in the front room. You know what I mean? And he said, turn the heater on in the front room. You know, leave it on for about a week because the auntie's coming from London or somebody's coming to spend a day or two, you know. So you get to get in the front room, man, you know, you get to get the cockeries out and, yeah, madness, man. Yeah, so, you know, within that period of time, I learned to cook. So therefore, I was quite independent when I, back from back home up until then, I was independent, you know what I mean? So I didn't have, no one could have, well, most of the girlfriend I had, I teach them most of what they know, to be honest, in terms of domesticating themselves and cooking and, you know? I mean, so that's how it was. Because all my girls I've been out with in Wales, half of them didn't know nothing, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's how it was. So I'm teaching them from when I was a kid, you know? So, yeah, my mother, she was a... You know, she's showing me how to season the meat and the chicken, how to brown the chicken and, you know, stuff like that. How to cook the peas before you put the rice in and, you know, all them type of stuff, you know. I mean, I've been doing it since I was a kid, you know what I mean? Because I used to have to cook. Yeah, I have to cook for my younger siblings, innit? You know, because they're at work, you know what I mean? She's to peel the potato before she goes to work, right? And the school I went to, which is like, it's called Tividale Comprehensive, right? It was about 5 minutes away, right? She used to leave the potatoes. She says, you got to come home and peel the potatoes. So when everyone is running around at lunchtime, I had to run home and peel the potatoes. So when she comes home, she can cook, she can start the cooking, you know what I mean? So when the kids come home, they can, you know, stuff like that. You know, Sunday you have to season the meat and, you know what I mean? Yeah, because she used to have me walking behind her with a trolley, man. Used to go to West Bromwich. Go to West Bromwich. That's how I used to support the Albion, right? Every Saturday morning, I used to go to Dudley, right? And she used to stop and talk to everyone. And Lenny Henry's mother, which she knew, they used to stop in the Dudley town. They used to have a market. Right in the middle of the town. They sell West Indian food and, you know, and that's where all the black people used to congregate on Saturday morning. You know, and I used to be there, standing over there in the corner with a trolley waiting for her to finish talking. I mean, you can't get involved in their discussion, you know what I mean? And she's like, how is Lenny doing? You know what I mean? Lenny was making a name for himself and all that. So I'll be there for half an hour, I freeze my nuts up. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, come on. Well, you can't shout. So, oh my God. So anyway, and she used to catch the bus then and goes to West Bromwich to pick the meat up from a different place. She could have bought meat around the corner. But she got this special man who does the meat, you know, and she'll catch. She's come, we're going to West Bromwich. She's like, what for? We've got to get the meat. And, you know, I'm like, God. Here we go. Off to goes on the bus to West Brom. And by this time, there's a lot of football supporters just coming out of Dudley going to the football match. But the football match is not until 3 o'clock, and these guys are catching the bus like 1, 2 o'clock. I'm thinking. So one Saturday morning, she said to me, I want you to go to West. She ordered the meat, because she worked in West Bromwich in the hospital. So she ordered the meat from the guy to be picked up on the Saturday morning. So she said, go get the meat. You know, give me a bus fare and stuff to catch a bus to West Brom. So I went, jumped on the bus, and there was all these full of football supporters. So I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to a football match. Never been to a football match yet. So I think I'm going to a football match, innit? So I start following the crowd. Yeah, I follow in the crowd, innit? And I got there and I got off the bus. The crowd disappeared. You know, all the people on the bus, they just disappear, and I'm there, stood by myself outside the football ground. I'm like, shit, what am I going to do? I had money to pay, so I walked around, and I walk around one entrance, and I see people going into this entrance, so I thought, I'll go with this lot, innit? So
So I'm walking up now. The guy said to me, "You're never the security guy, never. What team you play for, mate?" He goes, "What team you play for?" I'm like, "What?" I said, "I'm trying to get into the ground." You know, and it's a good job. It was a black guy, well, mixed race guy, you know. And, you know, he said, "Just go back there and go through there." So he let me in. So I walk along the terrace now. The match hasn't even started yet, you know what I mean? So I walk along the terrace and I go to the end where the West Bromwich Albion supporters go. I'm standing there. I'm trying to look for these guys now. Can't see any. They're all white guys. You know what I mean? It's full of white. I'm like, shit. So I stood behind the goals, right? I never forget. It was Crystal Palace v West Bromwich Albion. It was an FA Cup. It was a big match too. It was an FA Cup semi-final. And so I stood behind the goal. I seen three brilliant headed goals that day. A guy called Jeff Astle. He was the star of the West Bromwich Albion football team. He scored a fantastic headed hat trick. Right, I stood right there and watched it. So I started support the Albion then, because when I was in Jamaica, you hear about teams, and I used to support West Ham. And when I came to England, I found out West Ham is in London. Bloody hell, that's a fuck. Because they had World Cup players, see? They had Bobby Moore, they had the Jeffers, and the people who actually played in the World Cup. So I want to be supporting a team which has got a name, you know? But I didn't know you had Aston Villa, Wolverhampton Wanderers, West Bromwich Albion, all in the vicinity of about 20 miles around Birmingham. So I started to go to the Albion there. And then when I moved to Wolverhampton, I started going to the Molyneux, you know, which is Wolverhampton Wanderers. And I supported them for a few years because my friend, Ralphie, the black guy I met when I went to live there, he was very close to some of their players. So he introduced me to players like, you know, John Richards, Derek Dugan. These are all famous footballers. And that's how close he could have got to these guys back then. Because all they used to do, train and gamble. They all used to be in the betting office, you know? And they used to slip your fiver there. Have a go, try it, you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And Ralph, he knew all this. So he was close to them, you know? And yeah, that's how it was. Football was like, yeah, man. Yeah, so it continues his life. It was, but yet in all that, you know, it's only the one period of racism I encountered when I was in Wolverhampton, you know, and it wasn't people from Wolverhampton. These people are from, they were Geordies. They were from Newcastle, you know. But other than that, I never encountered, you know, was in a little gang called the Temple Street Mafia. Which, you know, you got to be part of something, you know. So as we were uptown boys, we used to go uptown and they had a little gang called the Temple Street Mafia because Temple Street is where the Express and Star paper used to be. And they used to have a little area where all they used to stand around, you know, hang around, that sort of thing. And they call themselves Temple Street Mafia. But it was all a mixture of black guys and white guy, Asian guys, you know? And yeah. I met a guy. He was kind of my best. Krishna, his name was. He was Sri Lankan. First Sri Lankan I ever made, you know? And that guy, he was a top man. Everyone loved Krishna. You know, I think because he was rich. Someone in his family was rich, you know? He used to come. You know, he used to wear the best gear, you know what I mean? Because back then, what you wear say a lot, you know what I mean? It's, you know, if you're not wearing the same modern outfit there, you can't be in that little posse there, you know what I mean? Because these guys are Ben Sherman and, you know, that type of the gear in them days, you know, the Harringtons and stuff like that, you know? I couldn't afford none of that, but my mate Krishna, you know what I mean? See, yeah, come on, dad, buy a shirt, bro. You know what I mean? And because he used to work in shops and he knew all the shopkeepers, you know. And that's how it was. It was just one fantastic, you know. I was carefree, if you put it that way, you know what I mean? And it's only when I came to Wales, I had to pull your socks up, you know what I mean? Because kids are involved now in a different, it's like on a different planet, you know what I'm saying? It's, yeah, it opens up, you know. I'm talking to people who I've never spoken to if I was in Birmingham, you know what I mean? Like,
get close to people in higher positions, you know, like, shit, I'm in Birmingham, where do you find these people, you know what I mean? So,
do you feel like your sense of belonging or identity shifted over the years? So you came in as Jamaican. Do you still feel Jamaican? Do you feel more British?
I would not try and lose my Jamaican identity, even though, who knows, I'm on there, might win the pool, so I'm going there to live. Who knows? But I love the Caribbean. I traveled, since I've been to Wales, we traveled all of the Caribbean, you know. It's only last year I was in St. Lucia, you know, and it's like, it's beautiful, man, you know what I'm saying? I try to do things which I didn't do as a kid. So like, I go back to Jamaica now. The year before last, we went to the Blue Mountains, right? Which, yeah, I've heard about it. So many, I've never been there, you know what I mean? So I think if I go to Jamaica, that's where I want to go, you know? So we went to Blue Mountain up in the... It's beautiful, yeah? I mean, you know, I got photographed. You know, I cycled down it as well. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to do. Do things which I didn't get to do as a kid, you know? When I was a kid, this would be a thing called Roaring River, right? And Roaring River was near to the school I went to, right? And, you know, and I'd never been to Roaring River. And that's where it's a Rasta community, right? Where they do farming and, you know, gardens, beautiful. But as a kid, it wouldn't be like that. And they had a cave there as well. Never been in that cave. You know, so I said, yeah, I want to go to Roaring River, man. I go there, oh my God, my heart melted. You know what I mean? This is next door to where I grew up and born. I had never been there. It's like 50 years later. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it does your head in, you know? Yeah, man. And that's what I like to do when I go back, you know what I mean? And the people, you know, they're there. They don't live there, but it's a very tourist place now. You know what I mean? You can go there, you can book a day to go there, have a meal, you know, play drums. It's a proper Rasta camp, you know what I mean? Properly documented and everything, you know. They've got brochures where people can go and visit and stuff like that. But, and that was just down the road from where I grew up, but I never knew anything about it, you know. So I thought, yeah, I'll go back and see that, you know. Because you can talk about it, you know. I could remember I used to... Because what it was, you know, sugar cane is, in Jamaica at one point, it was the biggest island for cane when the British was controlling things there. Like they plant sugar cane every bloody where, you know what I mean? So there was a lot of sugar cane. So there was a place, they call it the Heist, right? There used to be a sugar cane factory. It's on this place called Froome. And Froome was the biggest... sugar cane, what do you call?
Plantation?
Yeah, but where you take the cane to be turned into rum.
Industrial
factory. Right, you take it there. So what they do, they have a place called the Heist. If people want to sell the cane, they don't take it direct there. They take it to the Heist, have it weighed, and you get paid there. And then the train comes along, you put it on there, and they put it on there. And a train, and they take it to the factory so they could pulp it into, you know. And we used to have the trucks, like the tractors, pulling the canes out, you know what I mean? And there'd be guys on the top, because they want the weight, you know what I mean? They'd freaking hit you as well, you know what I mean? So you used to pull the cane out of the thing, right? But until you get to the Heist. But I've never been further than the Heist as a kid. And all that was behind me, all Roaring River and all down there. Was all down behind the Heist, but I'd never been there, like, you know. The furthest I got was the Heist, because, well, we were only kids then, you know. So I tried to go back there and I find out, you know, it's like a new world, man. Got this Roaring River place, man, it's beautiful. I don't have photograph, but I got photograph of some of the, let's see if I got a picture of Roaring River in here. Oh, sorry, are you still talking?
Yeah, so in terms of your identity, you feel Jamaican, you don't feel British?
Nah, I feel more Welsh than British, to be honest. Because I lived here longer than I've lived in England, you know, so. Kids are Welsh. You know what I'm saying? So Welsh is like my second home, isn't it? You know? I mean, I goes to England, nothing changed in Britain, man. Too much people. That's why, you know, jump on the bus, the bus is full. You walk on the street, the sidewalk is full. You know, the noise is. I come back to Wales, I feel much more comfortable. You know? So, yeah, that's me, man. But I'll go anywhere, you know. You know, see, I met so many people over the years since I've been here. You know what I mean? It's good people too. You know what I mean? Knowing that they're straight. I mean, living in the Midlands at the time, you didn't know who to trust. You know, there's so much things going on, you know. So many trickeries, so many drugs and, you know. And I know if I had still been there, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you now, you know, because it's totally different. You know what I'm saying? I got people ring me up, oh, Colombo. They call me Colombo, you know. Oh, I'm coming down. Where, you know, they're desperate to get out. You know what I mean? They are desperate to move out, you know. So I go back down. They say, boy, you look good, Nuno Colombo. Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Stuff like that, you know. And I'm older than them, you know. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking, don't do what you do, mate. I don't bleach anymore. I don't spend, you know, don't smoke weed and don't eat, and you know, I goes out my bike. You know, there's room for me to go and exercise. You know what I'm saying? In Birmingham, there's no such thing, you know. There is, but you'd have to travel, you know, where I can just jump on my bike. Now I could go to the Breckens, I'm back, you know, without no traffic, no anything, no fumes. And I think that's part of it as well. You know, the air condition down here is much better. It's much warmer as well. You wouldn't believe how cold Birmingham is. Jesus, it's fucking cold. It is freezing, you know. There's fog. You wake up in the morning, you can't. You can see out the window. There's so much fog. You know, it's just, you know, people walking around with whatever, you know. So it's healthier living down here, to be honest. You know, it's much healthier. You know, air condition is better. You know, and there's less people. Not many people, very rotten up my door, you know, it's people who I invite, not people who just turn up because, you know what I mean? I like it like that, you know? I like the peace and quiet, you know what I mean? I don't like the hustle and the bustle, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, who knows, one day I might win the pools. If I was to go back and leave Cardiff, you'd be, what the hell? You'd be going back to the Caribbean somewhere. You know what I mean? I would not say I would want to go back to Birmingham to live. You know? Because it's like, to me, you'd be going backwards. If I had education and I could go back there and help, you know, like working in the with young people and helping that way, I would, you know? But just to go back and live, nah, I don't think so. You know? Could find somewhere better than this. This, you know, buy a house somewhere, you know, out in the country somewhere. Yeah, that would be ideal, you know. That would be somewhere near the sea, perhaps. Well, live on one of those Caribbean islands out there somewhere. Maybe Trinidad, who knows? Yeah, because I have been to Tobago. I've not been to Trinidad, so I've been to Tobago. It's similar to Jamaica, you know. All the Mac Islands are similar, you know. There's, you know, we do the same thing. Yeah. Good stuff. You finished now? Oh, dear.